what are we up to as a couple? What's the purpose of our relationship? Why are we together? And often people are like, well, we know why we're together. We love each other, or some form of that. However, what's being missed in there is like, what do we want the greatest expression of our partnership to be in the world? And making that an explicit conversation is so incredibly powerful. And one way to approach it is to feel into who the two of you are and who you're becoming as a we.
Welcome to The Art of We, the podcast where we explore how committed partnerships can be potent vehicles for fully delivering our gifts to the world. Hi, I'm Krista Vanderveer, a seasoned consultant and executive coach.
And I'm Dr. Will Vanderveer, a leader and educator in integrative mental health and wellness. As husband and wife and business partners, we keep learning that the key to maximizing our authenticity and impact in the world lies inside the health, security, and depth of our relationship.
On this show, we'll pull back the curtains to share lessons, insights, and practices from our own marriage and professional careers that help us thrive. If you're a leader, founder, or overachiever, and you want to leverage your relationships for personal and collective growth, then you're in the right place.
Welcome to the Art of We podcast. This is episode number 76, and today we are going to take this opportunity to expand upon what we mean by the we. It's like a capital W-E, because we talk about it in every single episode and we point to it, but we thought that it's been a while since we've got back in there around defining what we mean by we and how we hold it as a framework to really help our partnership thrive and to help us accomplish what's most important and meaningful to us in our lives by using the we as a vehicle. What do you think about all that, Will? You ready to talk about that?
Yeah, I'm excited to get back in there with you.
Great.
Well, I think it would be good to start with an overview of what we mean. And I want to start by saying that there obviously are two people here. We're talking today about a we that's two humans. And then there's a third entity, which is maybe not in a physical body, but it has a certain personality and a certain set of desires and needs, concerns that comprise both of us and more than just the two of us. Is that fair?
Yeah, totally. It's what's created by the two of us coming together and saying yes to being in this deep, intimate partnership. So that's what we're calling the we's, the thing that's created as a result of us saying yes to this partnership. And we talk about it in a way that it transcends us, but it also includes us.
Right.
And it's really useful for us to use this kind of framework when talking about the we, because when we put ourselves in the shoes of the we, versus like just my shoes over here or your shoes over there, but this third entity that we're talking about, it can really help us make different important decisions. It can help us navigate what we're needing the most right now in different areas of our lives. And it really helps us stay out of an I perspective that it's so easy to get down rabbit holes around arguments or needs or challenges that we have. But when we can kind of pop out of our own perspective and into a bigger perspective, the perspective of the we of us, it's a lot easier to see, like from a 30,000 foot view, what's actually needed.
Right. And it helps us to see the true possibilities that lie in our partnership that neither one of us alone can see or can fulfill, really. The magic of the partnership and what the partnership is capable of is something that we are so excited about continuing to explore. So, for example, one of the commitments we have with each other is to always put the we first. And you were kind of pointing toward this a minute ago, like helps us to get out of a perspective of, well, Krista's had her way the last three or four times, and so it's my turn to get my way on this particular thing. It's like, no, what if we looked at what is our relationship or what is the unit need right now? It might not be a need for keeping track of who got their way when. Maybe it's that there's a much bigger perspective here in that moment.
Exactly. I think you once used the analogy of organs inside of a body. So there's different organs that have their own needs, they have their own function, but they're all working together to move forward the health and wellness of the whole person. And this is a similar setup that we're talking about when we're relating to the we. So you and I, in this case, are two organs, and we're like in service of allowing the we to thrive and survive and have its greatest expression. And every we is so uniquely different. When you and I came together, it was a really cool coming together because you had your history and your gifts, and I had my history and my gifts. And it felt like, in a really beautiful way, the gifts that we bring to the table have been able to blend together to create a lot of other opportunities and possibilities for how our we is impacting the world around us and what we're creating as a result of all of that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when we came together, I think broadly speaking, and I'm oversimplifying, you know, in the interest of time, because, you know, we like to keep these episodes less than 5 hours long. there was this quality that you brought that was so enlivening for me around just such a deep interest and curiosity in what the we concept is capable of, what are the possibilities. And I would say also a deep orientation toward, from your coaching background, optimizing and being more effective in a kind of future-oriented way of, like, for lack of a better way to say it, how can we achieve our goals most efficiently? And, you know, you'd worked with companies and individuals on that basis. And on my side, I came with, hey, let's deal with the past, let's deal with trauma, and more of an orientation toward let's get the obstacles from the past out of the way so that we can move forward in our lives. I was dabbling in it, but I wasn't as steeped in more of this coaching, what I would call coaching framework of how do we go full power in pursuit of our dreams and realizing our goals. And so there's this interesting exploration that we've been in lately around, you know, if the sum of the parts is less than the whole, in other words, if the whole is greater than the sum of the parts and our we is greater than just you and me put together, it seems to us now that in our way anyway, there's this possibility of healing our attachment injuries. And we've talked a lot on the show about that, you know, kind of retroactively healing in the service of what is this we capable of in the future? What are its gifts and talents, and what does it want to manifest into the world?
I think that's such an important conversation because for me personally, I know everybody's different, but if I have a bigger reason and purpose to heal my wounds and move beyond my limitations, then I'm much more likely to do that versus just for myself. You know, like, so if my healing is in greater service to the we and what we can do together as a result of that healing, it's a lot more interesting to me to do that versus just for my own personal growth. And so it's almost like the we can hold me accountable to show up more. It can hold you accountable to show up more. And I feel more of interest to show up for the we, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I come to the we from a not the opposite point of view, but a different childhood experience where for me, relying on myself and cutting off the perception, you know, which was just based on my experience, cutting off the perception that there was help available for me if I just looked around and received it was a big survival strategy for me. So from my experience, stepping into the we is a surrender that is actually kind of challenging to embrace. That, you know, our motto that we came up with while we were dating of we can do more than I can was something that was a revelation to me because it made sense intellectually, but I had not really experienced that much in my life up to that point.
Yeah. And we both came to our relationship together with this vision for a greater we that neither of us had fully experienced yet in the way that we wanted to in partnership. And yet there was enough pull towards something. Like, we're like, we want this. We haven't had it, but we want it. And I think that's a really important part too, is even if we have our tendencies to go towards the I, or we have our tendencies to run when it gets scary, it's like the most basic fundamental piece is just this desire to have something different. So I think that's important.
Well, I think I'm curious if our listener can relate to this. For me, there's a spiritual component to this invitation to for the individual to die into the collective. And it's sort of like there's been different poems I've read over the years about the drop of rain who doesn't want to become a part of the ocean or the grain of sand that is insisting on being different from the other ones on the beach and so on. And there's this relief for the ego that I think is available when the identification of being separate is dissolved into a bigger perspective, because all of the tension and defending and bracing against attack and all the things that go with being a separate entity can relax and let go. And it's incredible to feel that relaxation.
Yeah, that's great. And I also would say that the relaxation that we're talking about here isn't an excuse to then release responsibility and release the need to bring our uniqueness to the table so that we can be fully in a we and not just in some sort of surrendered state. I just want to clarify that because my tendency is to over-merge. So if I'm just fully like a raindrop going into the ocean, my tendency would be to like not bring fully forward my uniqueness and my gifts and my opinion. And so that's not what you're talking about.
It's this beautiful tension between autonomy and connection and oneness and balancing that there are unique gifts that are brought, and also there's this bigger perspective that we can relax back into. So it's a both and, and it's something that is kind of unresolvable, right? We are separate and we are not separate at the same time.
Okay, so let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll share a piece that we feel like is really important to support this third entity in manifesting, so to speak, the uniqueness that we can offer to the world together. So we'll be right back.
We hope you're enjoying this episode. I want to take a quick break to let you know about a gift we created for you and your partner. We compiled our top 10 relationship agreements, agreements that have been so powerful in supporting the success of our partnership that we even turned them into our wedding vows. These agreements help us stay connected, growing, and thriving as a couple, and they've been critical to help us create a kind of we that's way beyond what we've ever experienced before. You can download this free gift at KristaVanderveer.com. That's KristaVanderveer.com. Also, if you enjoy our podcast, it would be so meaningful to us if you left us a rating and review. Not only does it help others find us, but it gives us critical feedback on how we're doing. Thanks in advance, and now back to the episode.
Welcome back. We're going to start with sharing the one question that has been very impactful for us and that most couples are not asking that really supports the we to take shape and to be effective and impactful in the way that we're talking about. And the question is, what are we up to as a couple? What's the purpose of our relationship? Why are we together? And often people are like, well, we know why we're together. We love each other, or some form of that. However, what's being missed in there is like, what do we want the greatest expression of our partnership to be in the world? And making that an explicit conversation is so incredibly powerful. And one way to approach it is to feel into who the two of you are and who you're becoming as a we. And if you could imagine the greatest kind of impact that you could have together in your partnership, what would that be like and what would it look like? And usually it's some sort of future form that the two of you are stepping into that you desire to be in the world, a certain way you want to be in the world. And you know that you're on it when there's a certain pull towards the future that you're deeply a yes to. And when you can align like this inside of a partnership, then it is extraordinarily potent and powerful, and something kind of clicks inside of the we of the two of you that wasn't there before. Would you agree with all of that, Will?
Well said. I'll just add that, you know, we've had this conversation with so many people, individuals and couples, and it's just very surprising, actually, that we can bring this level of clarity of what are we up to together in so many different parts of our lives, right? Imagine like being an entrepreneur myself and having Keith as a business partner and co-founder. What would we be able to do if we didn't know what we were up to together? And anywhere you look in business, I think so many different situations, you in order to get where you're going, you need to know what you're up to together. And right. It's just really interesting that couples in committed long-term partnerships often never ask that question.
Right. Totally.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that I think there's a missed opportunity here that if we don't ask the question, as you pointed out, you can sort of coast along in a semi-wakeful state, enjoying the comfort and familiarity of your partnership, but not necessarily fulfilling the possibilities that are there.
Exactly. Yeah, so well said. And when you get to this clarification of what you're up to as a couple, and you really have the framework of relating to the we as something that transcends us but includes us, then more opportunity and possibilities become present when we look from the we perspective. We can see so many more things. And I love your analogy of the business conversation too, because I feel like another place that there's a gap in where there could be more possibility is inside of business partnership or founder relationships, because they might have the understanding of where they want to go with the company and they might be totally aligned about that. But there's also a missed opportunity in terms of what can happen between the two people inside of their partnership.
Right.
Like you and Keith are so committed to your growth. You're so committed to you guys being able to do extraordinary things together. And not everybody is explicit about, I want to use this partnership for growth as my own personal leader. And I want to be challenged. I want to be supported. And all of these different kinds of conversations that are left on the table. And then there's not as much possibility that happens inside the partnership also, which then impacts the business.
Well, yeah. And playing off of that, and this I think is true as much for intimate partnerships as business partnerships, is if the implicit expectation is that I'm not going to be challenged to grow, or if I get challenged to grow, there's something wrong, or maybe I shouldn't even be in this relationship if I get challenged to grow. Where can you go with that? You can't move forward.
Right.
Right. And so it's just incredibly sad that so many people are out there in this implicit assumption that getting challenged is a bad thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to the growth perspective of maybe a student or an athlete who wants to be coached to get better, who implicitly assumes that I'm going to get challenged and that's actually going to be good for me over the long term.
Right. And then if you make that explicit between two people, it's so powerful.
Right.
There's so much possibility, which is part of our partnership, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think a big part of this conversation, an assumption that I just want to name and make explicit, is that the only way to really fully realize your potential is to be willing to get uncomfortable. And you're going to get uncomfortable when you get challenged. And if you're allergic to that, you're just not going to meet your potential, period.
Yeah, so many partnerships, I think, have challenges and potentially even breakups because they meet discomfort and they think that something is wrong.
Yeah. And it's not to glorify pain or discomfort or say, oh, if you're suffering, you're, you know, a saint or something like that. But, you know, there are definitely situations that need to be dissolved and I've been in them myself. But, you know, I think most of us know, I'm curious, listener, if you'd agree with this, that you know that there's potential inside of you that you haven't fully manifested yet in your life, right? I think most of us can agree with that.
Right. I would agree that most of us can agree.
Well, maybe there's some people out there who've fully manifested all the things they're capable of in this life.
Could be. Yeah. Okay. Well, before we end, Will, I just want to ask you a quick question about this part of you that maybe has habitual I perspectives. Like you mentioned in the first half of the episode that you have tendencies to rely more on the I than the we. So for those people who are listening, I don't think it's unusual that there's one partner in the partnership that tends to run away at any kind of discomfort around merging or around like shared responsibility or something like that. And they dash or they run because they get scared or they're an I perspective. Given that that has happened to you, but oh my gosh, since the time we've met, you've grown so much into the we perspective. It's so freaking awesome. You're so good at being from a we perspective and you challenge me many times when I'm in an I perspective. Thank you for that. But what would you say to the people who have partners who are interested in this conversation about the we and the way that we're talking about it, but have a harder time feeling comfortable leaning into the we?
Well, It's helpful to have a partner who is, and I'm talking about you here, who leans in and brings curiosity that doesn't feel like judgment or shaming or blaming. And that's a tall order. We were just talking about this the other day about, you know, that's kind of a black belt level of relational skills to be able to notice that your partner is kind of pulling away into themselves or maybe running away, and to be able to bring curiosity without tension or fear or blame or that is hard to do. So, I mean, that's huge for me when you are able to do that. Another thing that has been helpful for me just in my own process has been reflecting on team sports. And that's not going to be helpful to everybody out there listening, but when I think about some of the great teams where individuals on the team had more talent than you could ever imagine, like there's been Los Angeles Lakers teams and other teams that it was just like inconceivable that they wouldn't win a championship. But the reason they couldn't win a championship was not for lack of talent. It was for lack of what we're talking about here, which is putting the team first. So the capacity to put the needs of the we in front of the needs of me is something that is not easy to cultivate, but it can be done. And it is done. I think that's part of why I like watching really high-level sports on teams, is I see that the teams that are able to do that are teams that work together, where individuals can be unselfish.
Right. And it's so much easier to see what we need when we're looking from the we, what would actually be supportive, what's actually going to move us forward, versus when you and I get into a little tiff or a little something, something. I think back to the days when we were first, you know, dating, and compared to now, like we do it so differently, which is so cool. But it's taken a lot of work and a lot of reps to not be so positional in our I spaces. Like, well, here's what I need to get this, blah, 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 blah. You know, like, here's what I need in order for XYZ to happen. Or, you know, you get into what you need and we're kind of battling about needs. And when we can pop out of that and be like, okay, well, hold on. Well, what is the we need? Then we can really look from a different perspective and see things that we couldn't see before. And it sounds like the team analogy is, you know, another way to say that, which is cool, but it takes the capacity to stop and to actually remember that there's another way to look at this whole experience in order to succeed.
Right. And it goes back to that anchoring question of what are we up to together, right?
Totally. Right. Because if that's unclear, then it could create more confusion, actually.
Right.
We might have a different opinion about what we're up to together. And then I think that would be a lot more to work through.
Definitely.
And for those of you who are listening and you have a partner who tends to merge a little bit more, kind of like me, I think it's important to recognize that if we're not bringing ourselves fully forward, like we're not addressing the things that need to be addressed, we're not sharing ourselves, if we're just kind of fading into the background and fading into this ocean of drops, so to speak, then it's really not the kind of we that we're talking about. Because it's being led by something else. It's being led by maybe your partner who's more individuated or more expressive. And you're kind of going along with that expression versus actually stepping up into the table and it being a mutual, a fully mutual, as fully as possible, we creation.
Right. And so what do those people need to be more fully invited into that self-expression or that, you know, bringing your own unique gifts and talents to the table to fold into the we? What helps?
For me, it's been the knowing that I'm not actually going to get the thing that I want, the capital W-E, unless I'm stepping up to the table to do that. I'm just going to be repeating past patterns or past relationships that are not fulfilling. So for me, it's the awareness and then the commitment to the bigger we and what that means to me and to you. So anything else you want to add before we wrap up this episode?
I just feel really grateful for our we and for this conversation. And I want to just say to our listener, if you're in the place I was 7 or 8 years ago and you're longing for a truly mutual, put the we first relationship, but you're not sure that it exists, that's where I was, but you really want it. I just, again, want to encourage everyone out there who's in that space to keep going after it and standing for it. And I will predict, this might sound a little bit airy-fairy, but my prediction is that if you stand for it, you will be able to create it, because there are people out there who want that too. And so that's just been my journey here in my life and meeting Krista and creating this We Together.
Yeah, and mine too. The first step was standing for it, being like, okay, if I don't accomplish anything else in this lifetime, this might be a little drastic for some of you who are listening, but for me, it was true. Is if I don't accomplish anything else in my lifetime except for creating an extraordinary we, this is before I met Will, then I will be a happy person on my deathbed. And it took standing for it and then understanding what that meant to stand for it, and then being in the conversation with myself and other people to see if they could meet that. And we're your allies. So keep listening to The Art of We. And we're so grateful that you're joining us. And thank you so much for all of your comments and contributions and reach outs to us. And we hope you keep doing that, so we keep knowing where you're at over there on the other side of the microphone.
Yeah, thanks for the encouraging words and reviews. It means a lot to us.
So much. Thank you. And we'll talk with you next week. Have a good one.
Have a great week.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you found this content valuable, please follow the show and share it with your partner or other key collaborators. If the show sparked an interesting conversation based on these topics, we'd love to hear from you. Find us on Instagram at Art of We Podcast.
And we'll see you next time when we explore what it means to be better together, like butter and toast, on The Art of We Podcast.